The Believer's Walk of Faith is paid for by Bill Winston Ministries partners and viewers.
Up next on the Believer's Walk of Faith.
He's talking about prayer, and he's talking about someone who needs prayer, and he's talking about how prayer is answered, that it's not going to be answered just because you're a child of God. It's not going to be answered because of that. It's going to be answered first because you met the biblical rules by which prayer has to be offered, and that you understand your covenant, that you have right to answered prayer. Mark 11, and starting reading here at verse 15. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. Here he says something that the house of God shall be called a house of prayer. So we are going to call this for the next few lessons, we're going to call it the priority of prayer. There are two levels, there are two realms, the realm of the spirit and the realm of the natural. And for things to be done in the natural, they're going to in the kingdom, they're going to have to be first done in the spirit. You're going to have to, there's somebody is going to have to pray and get that done in the spirit. Even if you're getting people born again, there has to be prayer to birth them first in the spirit. And I think the church, I suggested one time that we have a prayer tower. And our prayer tower would be down at the Sears building. I don't know what they call it now. But it'd be way up high. You know, I just want to put it way up high. Now, I know you can pray in a closet, but I want it way up high. Because I my vision was to have churches to all participate and have different shifts, and that prayer would go forward 24/7. If you remember, well, you probably don't, because I watch, you know, some Western movies. If in the Western movies, down at the end of the street, there's always a church house. And I think it was there to keep down the evil in the city. And if the evil's going to be kept down in Chicago, it's going to be the church that's going to do it. See, so we've got to, this thing plucked up by the root, we've got to go to the root of some of these problems. And the church is the world's only hope. And the reason why is because the church can deal with Satan in the spirit. That Jesus said that we're seated far above all principalities and powers and might. Let's go over to Ephesians, please, in Ephesians chapter 6. He says here, starting at verse 10, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, against wicked spirits in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, what do you do? Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take up the what? Shield of faith. That's where faith comes in, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let's just stop right there. But look at that, praying always, verse 18. Put it up there in the Amplified Translation. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. All manner of prayer. So it's telling you there are different types of prayer. And there are different types. Some of them, one, intercessory prayer. This is where you are behind the scenes really getting things done. I tell people sometimes, I said, I believe that when Jesus starts rewarding people, for things they've done in the earth, I think at the front of the line, there are going to be a lot of women that, were up in age or whatever, in their prayer closet, praying for people like me and praying for people like you. You never saw them, but they're going to be at the front of the line getting some of the biggest rewards. And that's because they understood the importance and the priority of prayer. They knew that nothing happened without it, and so they were interested in prayer. So that was intercessory prayer. Somebody may not have money, but you can spend an hour before God praying for this church, praying for people to get saved, praying for so forth and so on. Your contribution can be prayer. And if you pray right, you'll have some money. You'll have some money. God rewards the righteous. The next kind of prayer is petition prayer. This petition prayer is asking for something. And all that's in the Bible as well. In Mark 11:24, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, you shall have them. Over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he said, be careful for nothing, but in all things by prayer and what? Supplication with what? Thanksgiving. Let your request be made known what? Unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. The priority of prayer, that if you want to receive something from God, you've got to pray it. You've got to believe you received it when you pray. Another one is agreement, prayer of agreement. And it says over in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 19. And he says to them that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that you shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. It didn't say it might. No, see, I can't hear you. It didn't say it might. See, God, Psalm 111, God is a covenant-keeping God. He'll be ever mindful of his covenant. This whole covenant thing, look at Luke chapter 11, verse 1. This whole covenant thing, watch this. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. So John taught his disciples how to pray. No wonder he was having all that success. When you pray, say. So right there, it's not a silent prayer. There's no such thing as a silent prayer. Well Pastor, I've been praying. I just been praying silently. No, you haven't. You haven't been praying. You've been fooling yourself is what you've been doing. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so in earth. give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. Now, some people think this is a whole nother story here. He's talking about prayer. And a friend of mine is come in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, but because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Let's go to that verse in the Amplified. He says, friend, yet because of his shameless persistence and insistence, he will get up, glory to God, and give him as much as he needs. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Now, he's not talking, you know, about some relative come by and want to borrow, you know, $20. He's talking about prayer. And he's talking about someone who needs prayer. And he's talking about how prayer is answered. That it's not going to be answered just because you're a child of God. It's not going to be answered because of that. It's going to be answered first because you met the biblical rules by which prayer has to be offered. And that you understand your covenant, that you have right to answered prayer. You have a right to answer prayer. See, prayer needs faith like anything else. Over in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13, look what he says. He says this, we having the same spirit of faith according as it is written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore we speak. Okay? Now, what is he saying? He is saying, wait a second, I've got to believe prayer. I've got to believe that God heard me. I've got to believe that this prayer of mine is going to be answered. Look what he says in Matthew chapter 9, very quickly, and verse 27. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said to him, what? Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it unto you. Watch this. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they went and blabbed it everywhere. Mary. No. Here's what I'm pointing out. First, there was a shameless approach to Jesus. Jesus was going in the house. And they come on through the door. The man that was up on that roof, you remember they took that man up there? I call that crazy faith. But they tore open the roof and let the man down. And it's amazing that shameless approach moved God. Amen. See, the word believe has to do with unqualified committal. Unqualified, whatever it takes. Whatever it takes. See, it has no boundaries to it. You don't. Woman with the issue of blood, what does she do? She pressed her way through the crowd. Here's Jesus. He's walking with the rabbi. He's walking with the head of the synagogue. And the head of the synagogue was supposed to order her stoning, because a woman with an issue of blood, according to the law, shouldn't be out. She should be stoned. But notice, her shameless approach got her healed. And that's when you can tell somebody who believes. When I'm talking about the prayer of agreement, the prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, all these follow that same shameless rule. And he said, hey, he's not going to give it to you because you're a friend. He's going to give it to you because there's a covenant there. And that you're going to have to believe that that covenant, you have a right to answered prayer. Not I'm going to pray for my cousin to get saved and hope he gets saved. I'm going to pray for my daughter to get saved and hope she gets saved. Wrong. There is a, it says the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. That's your covenant promise that you and your household shall be saved. I don't care if that boy has been wayward for 20 years, he will be saved. And I'm saying when people don't know prayer, this is it's the situation we end up in. And the problem is the church. And it starts with prayer. Prayer is joining forces with God. It is absolutely allowing God to work. He needs it. He won't move without it. He's going to stay in the bed sleep until that's, of course, is, you know, just a metaphor. But he's going to be resting until prayer wakes him up. I'm just saying, no, God never sleeps. But that. And I had to learn that. I mean, the enemy came after, you know, both my kids, more so both my daughters, more so than my son, because we created him really trench in that word and so forth. When I got born again, when I first had my daughters, I wasn't born again. So I couldn't bring them up on that. I brought David up on the word. But I had to get them in here. And that enemy really battled. One day, one of my youngest daughters over at the hospital, they said, boy, that next morning, they said, we thought she wasn't going to make it. I said, I didn't think that. Shameless. Devil, you let my daughter go. Now, here is a scripture. And he said, put me in remembrance of what I said. And most of the people don't even know what God said. Prayer works every time. When Dr. Youngie Cho in his book goes over there, he said, went to see a pastor friend of his, and the pastor and him before they went out to dinner or whatever, he said, oh, would you pray for her? He said, what does she need prayer for? Well, she wants to get married. And he said, okay, have you been praying for a husband? She said, yeah. He said, well, how long have you been praying? She said, well, 10 years. Here's what his reply was. What have you been praying? Unheard of. Going over to Luke chapter 19. Folks, we've been letting the devil run off with our stuff. And this has got to stop. I said Luke chapter 19. Make it Luke chapter 18, please. Verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought to always what? Pray. And what else? And not faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. Now, you know that was the devil. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward, he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, she's going to weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry what? Day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them what? Speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find what? Faith on the earth. It works by faith. And he'll avenge them speedily. Brother Hagin talks about a time he prayed for his brother and so forth and so on. And when he prayed, just felt the release, and that was it. And they called him later on that week, said, hey, Neb, or whatever his name was, you know, he got saved. Here's what Brother Hagin said. I know it. How did he know it? Because he what? He prayed. Come on, say it. He prayed because he prayed. He knew it. It's no surprise. First John chapter 5, verse 14. Still talking about petition prayer, or could be applied to intercessory prayer. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, what? He hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we what? Have the petition that we desired of him. Look over here. Look at John chapter 11. Folks, we got to get serious about the gospel. John chapter 11, verse 40. Let's talk about that. This is Jesus at the graveside of Lazarus, okay? And she, Martha, very kindly reminded him that the man's been dead 4 days. He's thinking. Verse 40, makes no difference. Never too late for prayer. Amen. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shalt see the glory of God? And they took away the stone from the place where the dead was lain. And Jesus lifted up his eyes. He said, Father, I thank you that you have what? Heard me. And I know that you hear me always. Now, let me tell you something. Jesus said, the things that I did shall you do also. Now, here's what I'm saying. He's showing his disciples how this works. And it's not because he's in this earth as a son of God or son of man, as he said sometimes. It's because he was under that covenant. And God cannot break that covenant. And that's what Jesus was operating. He was operating under the old covenant. And he said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. He's talking out loud now. Now, Philippians again, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. And he says this, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. What? With thanksgiving. Leave the thanks off, you might miss God. I'm telling you the rules. You got to, if you go by the rules, this thing will work every time. We've got to intercede for the lost, that the Holy Spirit will not only convict them, but cause them to come to a place where they could hear the word, or where somebody would cross their path and talk to them and so forth and convict them. We were raising up our first church in Minnesota. And so here, I was still with IBM at that time. So we'd witnessed though on Saturdays. I've always witnessed, and we witnessed on Saturdays. So we'd gone out, and I was with a guy named Joe. Joe was a policeman as well in Minnesota. And so I was with him, and we went, and there was a guy, and he was selling hot stuff, hot watches and, you know, hot, just hot. And as he was doing that, something told me, go over there to him. Now, you'll see that in the book of Acts. where he told Philip, go over to the man, and he'll guide you over to him. See, because he can bring things across people's path. You just can't pray they be saved. You pray that God will send laborers across your path, that they'll witness to them in a way they can't gainsay or resist it. And so what happens now is I cross his path and I saw him. He said, oh, you want to buy something? I said, hey, let me say something. I said, I want to talk to you for a minute. Now, Joe's standing, Joe's about 6'6", so the guy wouldn't do anything to me. And so I took him and I was going to talk to him. And as I was starting out to talk to him, I put my hand right on his shoulder, right here. When I touched him, it exploded. Now, I've got witnesses for this. It exploded. It knocked me back, knocked Joe back, and I was trying to, whoa, knocked him back against the wall. Watches went everywhere. And so came up against the wall. Watches were all over the place, and he started gathering them up. I said, my friend, I said, what is going on with your life? He said, I used to be a preacher. Man, wow. He gathered them up and said, I'm going home. And start walking down that street, just slowly walking down that street. I said, man, so that was my experience with the Holy Ghost, that I saw how he can convict somebody of sin. And so it's powerful that we work with the Holy Ghost. It's him that's guiding the church. You don't guide the church, but his priority is prayer. Because that's the way that he works. On Sunday, after we come in here, that's not the time. The time to pray is before we come in here. Because God will round up people to come into the service on that particular day. He knows, angels know how to go get them. And they'll wonder how they got in service. I remember when we came here, we were preaching in projects. And so I was preaching in Cabrini Green, and I was down there, and so they let me use a basement down there to preach. And the people start coming down and so forth, and I'm preaching. And so I got down and I called for souls. And this one guy in the back, I remember, looked like a gang member or something. And I could tell he wasn't interested in what I was saying. It looked like his mother was beside him. You know, our mother dragged these boys in church. And he's looking all the way and so forth. I mean, it was obvious that he wanted to distract me by just, you know, looking away, you know. You know, but I ignored it. And then I said, now, you need to be saved. And I said, I'm going to call you now so I can pray for you, that you can be saved and come out of your sin and come into the kingdom of God, where the Lord Jesus can now provide for you everything that you need, so forth, a few words. And then I said, so whoever want to be saved, get out of your chair right now and get up here. He was the first one there. I asked him after he confessed Christ, how did you get here? Here's what he said. I don't know. That's a fact. That's the power of intercessory prayer, because we would pray for all these before we went there. See, I wasn't looking for a pulpit. I knew that the assignment God has the church on is to get the lost saved, establish the kingdom of God in every place. See, I knew that. I've never been deceived about the work of the kingdom, because I know that the priority that he has is prayer. Now let's just say something here. Let's say something about this, because if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may what? Prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto who? God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks what? Mysteries. Now, what are mysteries, somebody? What are mysteries? Hidden sayings. So you speak hidden sayings. Now, put something right there, and let's go to Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, not diseases. That means weaknesses, meaning you don't quite know mentally what to do. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Next verse. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh what? Intercession for who? The saints. What? According to the will of God. So when I pray in the Spirit, among the other things that I'm doing is I'm making intercession for the saints. Now understand, nothing happens with God unless somebody prays. So now I don't know what to pray for as I ought, but I'm going to make intercession here for the saints. And over in Acts chapter 12, he says, here's Herod. Let's start at verse 4. And when he had apprehended him, Peter now, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 quaternions of soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with 2 chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off of his hands. Now, as you go on down, you'll see in verse 10, and when they were past the first and the second ward, they came into an iron gate that led unto the city, which opened to them of his own accord, and they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. Now Peter goes to the house where they're praying. And when he had considered the things, he came into the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came and hearkened, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, you're mad. But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. That is a bunch of unbelieving believers. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were what? Astonished. It's amazing they didn't use the word astonished when they talked about Rhoda. They used astonished when they talked about that other believing bunch. You see, when you really pray effectively, you expect what you pray to come to pass. If you really are really sincere about what you're praying for. So it's interesting here how Peter was going to be killed the next day, but they prayed him out. Now, that's the same way you can have a report that somebody has now, from Living Word, has been taken to hospice. Because in the natural, there is no hope. But how the church can pray. And whatever Satan has desired to do with their life cannot be done. That you can pray, in this case, the pastor, out of a dilemma that somehow, because of his witness, he got into and he needs some backup prayer. But if you've got people who don't see prayer as a priority, a kingdom-minded person, that's why you can go overseas and so easy to preach. Because they have not been civilized out of spiritual things. They counted that the most important thing to them is to be blessed. I mean, many times. Because I've seen it. I mean, I get off the airplane, people want to get blessed right handling luggage. You know, God came in, like I said, put a new dishwasher in. No, we needed a new one. We got a new one. But he came and examined the old one. He said, you're going to have to get a new one here. So my wife said, okay, well, button it up. My husband's going to be here when you leave, and he'll sign the paperwork. And so he called me and said, could you sign this, sir? Yes, sir. He said, sir, before I leave, could you bless me? He gets down on his knees. Can you bless me? Now, but he was from another country. He hadn't been intellectualized out of the power of God that comes out of your heart. They know it. And that's why their prayer is so effective. People like Lester Summerall and those people, he said the devil moved his bed and he got up and saw that and he said, move it back. And he did. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sister, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. All right, let's look at CEV and see what it says. You cannot be my disciple unless you love me more than you love your father and your mother and your wife and your children and your brothers. And so one man said, the worst thing you want to do is put your child between you and God. You about to get that child hurt. Because God will have nothing between you and him. I want you to see the term that he used. Use hate. See, Jesus said some stuff that the disciples said, hey, man, can we stay here? I better go back to the house. No, you know what he's looking for? He's looking for selling out. And a lot of times people are not getting the results of things, prayer, seed sown, so forth. The heart is not there. He said their mouths are saying the right thing, but the hearts are far from me. Going over to John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he's going to prune it or purge it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Do you realize a chicken, little chick, that chick has got to peck their way out of that egg? Do you realize if they don't peck their way out of that egg, their system of circulating blood or what's in them will not develop? That their strength will not even develop. If a butterfly, a caterpillar turning into a butterfly, if he doesn't struggle to get out of that cocoon, his wings won't be strong enough to hold him. There are some places that God brings you through to develop you so that you'll be strong when you get on the outside. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he's going to take it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it that it may bring forth how much fruit? More fruit. Now you are clean through my word, which I have spoken unto you. Next verse. Abide in me. This is one I want you to see. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit, come on, of itself, except it what? Abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. Let me give you another word for abide. Depend on. Wow. Depend on. Now you think about this. If I've got a branch and for some reason that branch got half broken off and it's just hanging on. Now understand that branch gets its food source and everything from the roots that come up through the vine and feed the branch. And out on the branch are fruit. So if I want those fruit to be healthy out there, I've got to get the branch firmly attached to the vine. Am I right? Yes. And when people don't depend on God and so forth, what happens is they're not firmly attached. So now you ask what you will and it won't be done for you because you're not abiding. If you follow in the Holy Ghost, he's going to keep you with something that you're going to have to depend on him for. That's if you're following the Holy Spirit. If you are not, you won't have it. You just come to church, shout, and run out. But God wants you to bear fruit. And fruit is a result of the Word of God. Are you following what I'm saying? So I had to learn this. And he's keeping me out there. And someone says, Lord, again, yeah, because I'm going to have you bearing much fruit. Because in the end, it's going to be all me and none of you. Because right now, we want to participate. Look what I did. No, you didn't do that. See, it's still some iron there. So we're going to give you another project. Because you still trying. No. Eventually, he's going to take you to getting a car cash. Amen. He's going to take you there. He's going to take you there because he's going to develop you. He's going to make you a disciple. Yes. And a disciple is one who becomes like his teacher. You're going to be looking just like Jesus. And there's nothing wrong with that. If that frightens you, then you need to get saved. But he said, if you love me, what do? You keep my word. And my word, if you keep it, it's going to cleanse you. It's going to keep cleansing you of all the hostility, all the racism, all that. You keep my word, it's going to keep cleansing you of all dependency on the world, on your job, and so forth. It's going to keep cleansing you. Till eventually, you're going to look just like Jesus. Isn't that good? Yes. Prayer. Intercessory prayer. It's a prayer that is formed out of a heart of love, mercy, and compassion. Let's pray for sister. Let's pray for her. She looks like she's in trouble. Let's pray for her. Let's get up in the morning, call each other at 6. And pray for the church. Let's say that. No. Devil keeps you occupied. Yeah. So forth. So, no, can't pray. Here's what Jesus told them. He went
He was in his worst hour. And then he went just a few steps away and came back, and the disciples were asleep. You ever heard the expression, pray my strength in the Lord? That's what he needed. The Bible says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. We forgive those who trespass against us. And leave us not in temptation. Deliver us. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside. Just pray. God's people have been so tied up. I'm too busy to pray. It's not a priority anymore. God said, I want you to teach my people that my house shall be called a house of prayer.
Today's life-changing series, Priority of Prayer, is available in its entirety on CD or MP3, on DVD or MP4. To order in the U.S., call 800-711-9327 or contact us online at billwinston.org. In Canada, call 844-298-2900 or contact us online at billwinston.ca. As an additional resource to help you grow your faith and increase your prayer life, order the Priority of Prayer bundle, which includes the Priority of Prayer three-part teaching series and Dr. Veronica Winston's phenomenal book, The World Prayer Guide. This dynamic bundle will help you to pray scripturally, with authority, and in faith. You will also gain a better understanding on why keeping prayer as a priority in your life will enable you to unlock your potential to change your world and impact the world around you. Order this must-have bundle today.
Hello, Dr. Bill Winston here. I'm inviting you to one of the premier conferences of the year, and that's the 2020 Business and Leadership Conference. I want you to mark your calendar. It's going to be here at the Living Word Christian Center campus in Forest Park, Illinois. Our theme this year is Unleashing Your Greatest Potential. Now, there are a lot of people that don't even know they have great potential. But you do. And we're going to teach you through these seminars, through our speakers, how to tap into that. Now, this conference is important. Many of people have been called to entrepreneurship, to their own businesses, or trying to get their own organizations off the ground and so forth. We're not going to only teach you how to do that, but we're going to teach you how to scale it. Let me give you, for instance, there was a man named Peter in the Bible. He had a fishing business. Jesus asked to use his boat. And once he got into his boat, he began to teach, and he pushed out a little from the shore. And when he was done teaching, he told Peter, now you launch onto the deep, let down your nets for a draught. When he did that, he caught so many fish till he couldn't hold them all. He had to call for his partners. And he called for his partners, they filled up their boat, and it almost began to sink. Now, what happened? Peter just didn't catch enough fish for him and his partners. He actually changed the economy of the Capernaum. And I'm saying God wants you to have businesses that you can scale. I'm talking about be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and control the market. Unleashing your greatest potential. I'm saying you have great potential in you. Not just that you could bring up something of a sole proprietorship that you and maybe your cousin work at. That's not the idea. I'm talking about global. That's the kind of business I'm talking about. Now, in the past, we've had speakers here. We've had any people from Wall Street to Hollywood. We've even had billionaires speaking here from the digital space, such as Dave Stewart, to the oil industry, such as Mrs. Alakija of Nigeria. We have these same kinds and levels of speakers coming every year. I want you to be here. We're talking about not just innovation, disruptive innovation. We're talking about you're coming in with something that's going to disrupt everything. I mean, you're going to leapfrog people in their thinking. That's what it's all about. Now, this is an opportunity for you. You know, if you want to be wise, walk with the wise. And so we're going to give you, in these 2 or 3 days, we're going to give you an experience that we trust that you've never had before. I know we say you don't want to miss it, and we kind of use that as an expression. But this conference, you don't want to miss. See, 2020 is a time of new vision. It's time that God is about to open doors that have been closed for years, and you have got to be ready to get in on it. This is your season. You can't afford to miss this conference. Mark your calendar here at the Living Word Christian Center campus in Forest Park, Illinois. I will see you here.
Doctors Bill and Veronica Winston are dedicated to seeing lives changed through the power of prayer. Our loving and highly trained prayer ministers are ready to pray and agree with you. We know that prayer can turn around any situation in your life. We want to thank our partners who have made this prayer call center possible. If you are not a partner, we encourage you to pray about joining us in partnership and be a part of the wonderful work that God is doing through this ministry.